I don't know if it's me being off this past week, but it seems to me that a lot has happened in the world since I've been gone. Two more school shootings, Harvey Weinstein finally arrested, any progress on North Korea seems iffy, and then I saw a story from PBS that said families have been separated at the border and that our own government has lost track of 1,500 children, some of them being released to human traffickers. I mean, I could go on, but you get the picture. I mean, I suppose it isn't a special week in terms of news. I'm sure there'll be something next week for us to have anxiety about. And yet last Sunday, at this very moment, I was at the Bradley Center. It's where the Milwaukee Bucks play basketball. And that's where the site of Marquette University's graduation was, because that's the biggest room in town. And I was listening to professors and the keynote speakers and other folks associated with the university, and I probably paid more attention than I normally would at a graduation because it is a Jesuit school. The Jesuits is a Roman Catholic order known as the Society of Jesus. And these people are serious about faith, they're serious about education and ethics. And one of the things that seemed to come up multiple times during the graduation is the fact that it appears that we are losing our humanity. But they said also to these graduates, including our daughter, that they are being sent out into this hopeless world to be a light to those who are looking. So I was taking all of this in, and I was very warmed by the fact that they didn't check faith at the door at this graduation, which probably had many people of faith and no faith and different faith. And so I think to myself, as our population in the world is growing, when I look at the news, it seems like we're losing our humanity inch by painful inch. I mean, I guess the deal is we do not do a very good job at being people. I mean, we are impatient. We get worked up over small things, at least I do. And it's not lost on me that even when Jesus was teaching his disciples in something called the Olivet Discourse, he says, look, things are going to get worse before they get much better. And the only reason they get better is that he comes to save us from ourselves and to keep us from destroying ourselves. Now, that's kind of a depressing thought. But here it is on Holy Trinity Sunday. And I suppose that if we wanted to drown out the bad news, I could get all esoteric and academic and ivory towerish and talk about the Holy Trinity in such a way that it would numb you probably to sleep. But I'm not going to do that. But it does make you wonder, at least it did this week as I was chewing on this, what does Holy Trinity Sunday have to say to us in light of what we would call the realities on the ground in terms of humanity? Now, I wrestled with this all week while I was with my family at the graduations and then up in northern Wisconsin. And as I chewed on this, and that's what I do, I take something and I just kind of keep throwing it around in my head. And the answer was startling to me. We will not find the answer to our ever-increasing lack of humanity out in the world. The answer is not out there. And Lord knows I have tried, you know, I have tried to eat a lot of Chinese food, thinking that if I get the right fortune cookie, maybe I would be able to answer the mysteries of the world and then be able to share them with you. But nope, the answer is not found in fortune cookies. And I don't know if I've told you, but one of the best fortune cookies that I ever came across, my son received, and he cracked open the cookie, and it said this: Here's a fortune for you. If you want something, take it. The world would be a better place if we lived by that, right? I mean, please. I mean, holy moly. True story. Absolutely true story. But when I'm talking about recapturing our humanity, we can't find it out there. We must look to the one who showed us what it really means to be a human, not just as an example. Because I have a hard time following examples. I'm more like a 2-year-old that says to their parent, I'll do it myself. But it is important to see how Jesus lived as much as what he did to help us reclaim our humanity. Now, we know that the core of Jesus' message, nothing new here, love God, love people, that is the core of the message. And sometimes it takes a lifetime to do that, let alone figure it out. It's one thing to have it up here, but to have it sink kind of about 13 inches down to our hearts, that takes a little bit longer. I mean, how do you love people who are mean? How do you set boundaries with people who walk over them and still be... I mean, it's hard, hard stuff. But I'll tell you, no one has ever embraced Christianity and quit because it was too easy. It wasn't challenging enough. That somebody would move on to a faith tradition because somehow Christianity was way too easy and I mastered that and I'm moving on to my next religion. This is hard stuff. But here's the deal. I mean, I don't want us to miss this, is that Jesus didn't tell us to love God and love other people just to ruin our day with impossible rules. As a matter of fact, he asks us to do the very thing that he does all the time. I mean, he fully lived into the great commandment. It was not like, well, you all do this, but I don't have to do it because I'm in charge. That's not it at all. I mean, he doesn't do the whole do as I say, not as I do. I mean, that's the thing that he constantly criticized other religious leaders for. He, on the other hand, was only asking us to do the very thing that he was already doing. And the question is, why? Because that's what it means to be fully human. That is why God created us, and if nothing else, understand that those four words are our guiding principle. I can remember, I don't know if I've shared this, but 10, 12 years ago, I was meditating on a passage in the Beatitudes, in that Sermon on the Mount, and it was love your enemy, something Jesus said, and I was going to preach on it, and so flipping it over in my head, and I was going to preach on it, and I was in the middle of shaving, thinking about this, leaning over into the mirror, when it happened. I heard a voice as clear as can be, saying, I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not already doing. Needless to say, I stopped shaving. Matter of fact, I ran back into the bedroom to share with Rachel what I had just heard, and I think she must have thought I was a little loony. I was half shaved, and I'm ranting about hearing a voice telling me that God's already doing the thing that he asks us to do. But still, it isn't new territory. I mean, you think about even in the Old Testament, when God gives Moses and the people of Israel the Ten Commandments, it's all based on those two things. Three of the commandments are based on loving God, the other seven on loving people. But it's not about rules. It's just not. It's about love. And never forget that God always takes the first step towards us. God loves us before we can love him or other people. I mean, even when we were in our mother's womb, guess who was loving on us? Yeah, God. In Psalm 139, we hear, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. Wow. Right? God is showing us what it means to be human. And in this case, almost like a parent, right? Loving us like a parent, like a, I don't know, Heavenly Father. And we heard Jeff read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." But the reality on the ground is that some people don't want to love. Even though God loved first, some people don't want that. They don't want the clarity of life that Jesus brings outside of love. I mean, just the clarity alone, some people don't want that. Some people don't want the thing that will actually move us back to being human beings again. I mean, can you imagine? A person not wanting to embrace their own humanity, but yet it happens all the time. Even Jesus says as much. He says, well, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world to bring clarity. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I mean, it's as if Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to bring some understanding to your world from your Creator. I'm going to help you in such a way to help you see things more clearly, how the world really is, and in the process of that, I'm also going to be loving on you. But I want you to see the purpose for why you were truly made. I will illuminate you, right? And if you are drawn to that light that will bring clarity, and if you're drawn to that love, just so you know, everything will be out in the open, but don't shy away from it. It's as if God is saying, I'm not going to hold your past against you. You can move forward. You can become more like me, Jesus says. An open book. And that's frightening for some people. I mean, I think about it this way. You know, when I was a kid, and this will date me, I loved this show. I know it's hard to see, but it's The Incredible Hulk. I don't know if anybody watched The Incredible Hulk back in the late 70s, early 80s. Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, some of my favorite. Freak accident, Dr. Bruce Banner, right? He has gamma rayed himself, so now he becomes the Incredible Hulk when he gets angry. The TV show was all about Dr. Banner going from town to town and eventually trying to undo the thing that made him become the Hulk. But in the meantime, there were stories and plot lines. He knew, Dr. Banner, he knew that he did not want to be the Hulk anymore. He didn't want that part of him inside of him. He wanted it gone. And in a lot of ways, I think that's what Jesus is offering, to get rid of the junk in our lives, the things that hold us back. But the challenging part of that is this: we have to be transparent about it. We have to own it. And there will be some people, I mean, it's very clear that people want to stay in proverbial darkness. They prefer lies. They prefer doing their own thing for their own benefit. They like being in control. They aren't interested in love or clarity. They have no use for really being truly a human being as the way God had designed us. They prefer to spin narratives and versions of the truth as long as it makes them look good or a victim. And as long as it casts other people in a negative light. And so what Jesus says to this is, that's fine. You will have your day to do your own thing. And it seems like it's right now. But everything will be exposed one day. That is the promise. I mean, it's a different way of saying, you can avoid the light if you want. If you don't want clarity and understanding, that is your choice. And you can embrace delusion and self-deception, but there will be a day of reckoning. It's far better to embrace the love of Jesus today. Warts and all, the stuff that we bring, it's far better than to hide in the darkness. It's not how we were made, yet it seems like natural behavior to us. I mean, Jesus was way more than an example. He showed us what it means to be truly human, of course. But there's more than that. It's more than telling us to love God and love each other and then have Him move on. That we needed to be reconnected to the source of love. And we couldn't do that on our own. So it's easier to live in the darkness. It's easier to love without condition when we are reconciled to the one who already does that. I mean, think about this. I mean, it's easier to love when we are drawn close to and reconnected to the source of love in our lives. And now you know the story, of course, is that Jesus took on our darkness in order to give us light. Jesus plunged headlong into pain and death so that we might be rescued from the darkness we generate and the darkness, if not the shade, we cast on others. It was as if Jesus would say from the cross, "You can fling your own mud at me. You can cover me in your darkness, and I will replace it with something better." On Easter morning. And he did that. He did that very thing. This is what he offers, but he doesn't force it, of course. He wants us to choose this. He took the first step towards us, and he offers us a better way. The question is, do we want to respond to that love and that clarity in our lives and understanding? So I would tell you that Holy Trinity Sunday offers us this, offers us community that only love can bring. God offers a homecoming and a reclaiming of who we are. So it's not lost on me that every Christmas we read the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet, not what we heard this morning, but Isaiah from 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah talks about who this Christ will be, and this is what he says. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The names of God, the mysterious three in one, the Everlasting Father, who we refer to as our Heavenly Father. We hear about the Son of that Heavenly Father, the Prince of Peace. And then the giving of the Holy Spirit, also Jesus called the Counselor. And when we look at that as a whole, what do we see? We see that we have a mighty God. Amen.